You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like that dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, it is hour number two, inexplicably. We are already there, hour number two. And we're in number one of the Triple Dipper. I'm calling this whole section School Days. I spell that D-A-Z-E. We have got to do some things to improve our lot in life, if you will, as a state. We've talked about school choice, and we'll talk about that more later. I introduced the issue earlier that I just kind of became aware of most recently called chronic absenteeism. And I met a gentleman recently, a guy named Alan Harris. He is a successful businessman here in the state, but he's also the chairman of the Human Capital Development Subcommittee of the Alabama Workforce Council, which, by the way, sounds like a big title. It doesn't pay. I'm pretty sure it's a volunteer position. But Alan's been giving an inordinate amount of his time to help study certain things that could help us build a better workforce, part of which is education, part of which is chronic absenteeism. So let me just stop talking myself and bring him on right now. Mr. Alan Harris, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, Phil, and you're right. It doesn't pay very well. but in my day, I was the benefactor of a very good education, and I'm just paying it back.
Well, I appreciate it, and I have more than once interacted with the Workforce Council. I know Tim McCartney personally. He's the chair of it, I believe, right now. And I appreciate what you're doing because it takes folks like y'all bringing what you know to the fray. But so let me ask you this. If you don't mind, just introduce what the Workforce Council is to the audience in more detail, and then let's talk about your findings on absenteeism.
Okay. In 2014, the governor came out with an edict that she wanted to create 500,000 more, find 500,000 more workers, and the jobs are there to take them by 2025. So she created the Alabama Workforce Council, which is primarily industrialists, to look for the jobs and the workers that we need in the workforce. The goal of the council, the AWC, the council, is to increase and improve our workforce. We're doing that. Several years ago, my committee was assigned to look for workers. We look for many buckets: the incarcerated, legal immigrants, Medicaid recipients, addicted persons, stay-at-home parents, ad infinitum. And we find that they're not there. Hmm. And so I hear constantly, after that, I began to hear plant managers and industry supervisors have one message for us: do something to cure the chronic absenteeism in high school, because those students bring that same attitude that it's not so important to be at school, so it's not so important to be at work every day.
Wow.
And, of course, missing workers is the biggest single problem in the industry.
Wow. It's funny you say that, because I just had a conversation with a friend yesterday. He owns a very large landscaping firm. He said, "Do you know I only had three guys show up yesterday for work?" I mean, what do you do with that when you've got guys either working in the trades or in industry anywhere, or for that matter, construction, and they decide they're just going to lay out that day because it's not as important, or they don't feel loyal to the idea of being there. But you're right. It's not just a newly learned behavior. Sometimes it was something that came along the way back when they were younger and more impressionable.
Mm-hmm. So from that study and looking for workers, my committee created a publication entitled Alabama Industry and Alabama K-12. It gave the metrics that compared K-12 to 50 states. So from that, we got to looking and say, you know what? We began to wonder how all of the desired reading proficiency and math proficiency and learning classrooms could be met if students were not in class. Mm. And so we looked at that, and I formed a select committee about the end of last year of six industrialists and six educators. We worked for several months, sometimes five-hour meetings. I cannot commend them enough. We came up with recommendations to give to pass on to the Alabama State Department of Education. The council approved all the recommendations unanimously 2.5 weeks ago. Next stop will be the governor and maybe a few legislators, and then working with Dr. Mackey to try to get some of this, try to reduce this absenteeism. It's a double whammy. It's not just students, but it's teachers. Teachers also, over the years, have been given a good number of days that they can take off. Okay, like it or not, that's the policy. But if the teacher's not there, what's the student going to learn? We don't have a strong substitute program, and even if we did, it's not the same as being a teacher. The teacher is the most important thing in your day, in my day, in that room, and you remember, and I do, how we depended on everything they said, and they took care of us.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And in fact, it's kind of funny because I had a chance to review some of your council's findings, and I had never even considered the fact that y'all might be examining absenteeism from the teacher standpoint. I figured it was going to be all about the students. But, you know, here's one of the things that really struck me, too, Alan. I did a little research on my own to get ready for today, and I don't know if you heard the earlier part of the show, but I gave a prelude to your coming on the air with some articles in recent years. I would have thought that COVID was the driving force in absenteeism, but the articles, some of the ones I found, dated back to 2018, 2019, and it was a chronic issue across the state even before COVID began to shut down the schools for a period of time and create a sort of a new dynamic. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Now, it's worse since COVID, but now this we're hoping that this next year it will begin to get back in line. These programs and recommendations we have won't go into full effect until 24, 25, but already we're working with some parts of it that will go into effect. Chronic absenteeism has been there, and what we're going to have to foster is a cultural change because we have a culture now, and we don't like some parts of it so much. But this is going to be a cultural change and a heavy lift for the State Department of Education.
Well, so if you don't mind, break down a few of the recommendations. Let's take students first. What would you... In terms of true recommendations, implementation of policies or procedures, what can we do to get kids more engaged with the idea of being present, if you will?
Well, we ran the gamut, but some of the recommendations for students first, student absenteeism. We have provided a schedule and recommend for incentives, cash incentives, to be paid for those students that miss the cumulative beginning in the ninth and ending in the 12th grade. Just 3 or 4 days they're missing each year, and they'll get a cash check when they walk across the stage at graduation.
Wow.
Now, we've looked at other states. Other states are doing similar things. Cash incentives seem to be the number one thing to get these kids, and especially teachers. But that's one thing we're doing that. So that's to give them hope and to get them in school. We'd like to give a tax credit for families whose kids come to school, maybe a $300, $400, or $500 tax credit from the legislature that they can take because their kids were in school. While I'm talking, let me say right now, it's clear parents are responsible to get their children into school. That doesn't change. That's an axiom, and we'll see how that plays out.
Right.
Also, we're talking about amending Taylor's Law. Basically, that would mean that for chronic absence students, when they get 15 and they can go for a driver's permit, if they've got a certain amount of absences, they can't go.
Oh, wow.
So we're looking to amend that law. Now, you remember the day you turned 15 where you were?
Oh, man. I just finished talking about driving my 68 Mustang around South Huntsville. So, yeah, I remember it quite well.
Yeah, I remember my mama's 56 Dodge Station Wagon. And here's a biggie to get them in. Now, we haven't addressed how many absences they can have in terms of, they're allowed like 18 now and can still graduate, okay? So what we're doing, we're saying if you miss over 10 days. In other words, if you miss 11 days, you're in a summer school.
Mm. Okay.
And we're not trying to penalize. Not trying to penalize the kids. We're trying to motivate the kids. Be in class. Go to school. That's strong.
That is strong. I think so. You're looking at both a carrot and a stick here, really.
Absolutely. It's both, and It's strong, but it has to be strong. It's got to have some teeth into it. So where's the accountability nowadays? Almost nowhere. In industry, and all this is driven by industry, industry is accountable to their customers. And if they make a mistake, they'll correct it, they'll pay for it, or do whatever, because they want to stay in business. Too many times some of our state departments are not as accountable as they could be. So this will help with that and transfer down to the students, which is exactly the reason the State Department of Education exists.
We want better
trained workers, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, listen, in the couple of minutes we have left, how about teacher absenteeism, which I didn't see coming, like I said. What were your recommendations on that, and where do you see it going?
Try to increase the sacred instructional time teachers have with students, provide more classroom training aids, and here's a nice one, a Be in the Classroom reward program for teachers that comes from the state. As they miss a few amount of days, they'll also be compensated monetarily. We took a poll of 700 teachers in four corners of the state and two places in the center, and the number one thing that teachers want is the incentive, cash incentives. There are many things you could do in the classroom. That's the number one thing they wanted, was a cash incentive. And so that's balance for teachers. And our State Department of Education is doing a much better job with teachers in terms of benefits and salary increases and all that. They're really going for it. But those are the two basic things, right, to teachers.
Well, that's fascinating. You know, as much as I have studied education, talked about it on this show, and even in the legislature, you know, voted on legislation and helped pass legislation that I thought would help or improve schools, I don't think I ever realized the depth of this issue. I mean, so much so that y'all formed a subcommittee and did a study on it. But listen, Alan, I want to thank you for your time on this. And more to come, obviously. You got to make the recommendations. They still have to be implemented. And there's still a budget process attached to some of what you just described. But it sure beats sitting around doing nothing. And so thank you for that. And appreciate you making some time for us today.
All of the above, Phil. It's been a labor of love, but it has to be done.
Yeah.
We need leadership.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and there you go. Leadership makes all the difference. Alan Harris, thank you so much for your time on the Workforce Council. Thanks for being on Right Side Radio.
My pleasure, Phil. You take care.
Yes,
thank
sir. You too. All right, that's just cool. And I'm going to tell you, like I said, I didn't see that coming, but God, doesn't that make sense? I'd love your thoughts on what you think about some of the carrot and stick approach that he had described there. In the meantime, we'll come right back after the break, and then very soon thereafter, take the 3:30 break, come back with Ryan Cantrell, National Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Federation for Children. School Days, number one, Triple Dipper. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. And I'm just looking over here at the text messages, and apparently that got some reaction. Which one's, Boomer, you want to read a couple?
Oh, yeah. There's one that I can relate with.
Which one?
The one, and it's Joe from Athens.
Okay.
He says, nobody ever paid me to go to school. Quite the contrary, I got my tail torn up if I got caught not going. That's my favorite one.
I don't know, man. Is it a cultural shift? I mean, the idea, you're incentivizing. I mean, you're really not giving the money away. You're saying, hey, look, if you're there every day at the end of your, when you graduate, there's a cash bonus for you. But, oh, by the way, if you don't go along the way, you're going to summer school. You're going to maybe Saturday school. Actually, one of the recommendations I believe they had. And I don't know.
That's what it was for. If you're not going to school now, you're going to go to summer school. If you didn't put the effort in, you're going to summer school. I was like, nope, I'm going to at least squeak by.
You know what I don't know, and I didn't see it in here. How much was the – are we talking about $50? or was it? No, there's teacher absenteeism. Teachers are talking about awarding one teacher. Oh, I see what they're doing here. Okay, with teachers, they were putting all their names of like their high attendance, all mm-hmm. their names into a pot, basically, and one teacher in each of the Alabama in-service centers, which like there's like districts for in-services.
Okay,
they would pick one teacher at the end of each school year to win a $10,000 prize, but you had to be at a high attendance rate to get it. So it's not like
it's like putting your name in a pot. It's yeah, kind of like if you do this,
I feel better about
I'll
that.
I'll throw your name in a pot, and then you could get this.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I don't mind that.
That's what I think I'm reading here in the copy of the report that I have a secret advanced copy of the
secret
report.
Secret advanced yeah. copy. I don't know about the whole...
This kids?
Paying to go to school.
I don't see in the student report, which is why it caught me off guard when he said that, I don't see where it says what the amount would be for incentivization. But from what he described a moment ago on the line, it's basically at the end of 4 years of high school. It's not like every year, if you've done good, I think there was an accrual there. All right, so Joe, I'm pretty sure if my dad had known when I skipped school, notice how I worded that, if my dad had known when I skipped school. But David from Huntsville says, kudos to Senator Larry Stutz on education. Great interview with Alan Harris just now. Alabama Works. Thanks for covering them and education reform. Thank you, David. I appreciate that, man. Badger from Athens telling us, happy Friday. Thank you, sir. John from Huntsville, Phil, I think students would get better grades if the school awarded them with money for good grades. Well, I mean, there's a thing. I don't know. Anita from South Huntsville, my state reps have made this similar comment to me many times that, quote, school choice will require a grassroots movement, meaning, one, we have to get out there with picket signs if we want it, two, but they know we're scared to do that because we don't want to be on an FBI hit list, and three, so we have to wait for something evil to happen before we react. No, Anita. Go on, girl. Get out there. FBI, they've already been put on notice. They've been called up in front of Congress. Listen, go make waves, Anita. Go make waves. What else do we have in there, Boomer? You see some more?
No, I'm just still stuck on the whole fact that they're going to pay kids to go to school. I just can't get that out of my head. I'm like, come on. I don't know. It's just in my head right now.
I wonder how much they're talking about. I should have asked him the amount. Michael from Sylacauga says, maybe work on making school actually worth attending. Focus on teaching real life skills instead of engaging in social engineering. Every day that I send my kids to public school left me with a sick feeling in my gut. Stop trying to make boys learn the same way girls do. Fix the dang school instead of bribing folks to show up at mushmind factories. Okay. There's a sentiment. What else? Goodness.
There's a lot.
Yeah. Robert from Huntsville says, I also graduated from Grissom, class of 75. Hey, I bet you graduated with a friend of mine then and a stepbrother. There were close to 600 kids in my class since my last name begins with a Z. I got more applause than anyone when they called me across because it was finally over.
Yeah. Gary from Decatur, disagrees strongly with rewarding kids for doing what is expected of them. What's next? Paying them to get up in the morning? Parents need to parent their children without social workers stressing children's rights so much.
Okay. All right. Sure enough. And then Navy Phil from Athens says, "Songline, welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends." We're so okay. I got you, man. All right, listen, we're taking a break right now. Coming back in a minute, Ryan Cantrell, friend of mine from Montgomery days. He's now the National Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Federation for Children. School choice is his thing. Y'all stand by. We will be right back.